The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right, and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you?' And the king will say to them in reply, 'Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of the least brothers of mine, you did for me.' Then he will say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me.' Then they will answer and say, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or naked or ill or in prison, and not minister to your needs?' He will answer them, 'Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me.' And these will go off to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord. Yeah, I think perhaps because we're familiar with the great teachings of the Church on the corporal works of mercy, we're certainly going to be inclined to read this passage one particular way, yeah, and that way is to say we're facing an examination. It looks very much like a final exam, right? It's got all the hallmarks of finality built into the thing, including the use of eternal, right? Like, okay, what is at the end? Just to pique your curiosity about the preaching of the gospel passage. Eternal punishment and eternal life, yeah, and it's one or the other. Okay, so we have in our mind then the final exam, the harshest of all grading criteria, right? The biggest challenge that we've ever faced, and the rest. And so the question comes up in our mind, you know, how is it that I get to be on the right as opposed to the left? And precisely because I think, you know, we've cleared out the front rows of the church. As, have you ever been to SeaWorld? This is the splash zone, right? It's like, this is, you sit there, you're gonna be a bit closer to the action than you want to be. I understand that, but that's on my right, at least. So, yeah, the invitation is there. Okay, anyway, so, yeah, the challenge. This is what we think. We want to figure out. Give me the criteria by which, you know, checking off the right boxes, I'm going to find myself on the right, because I'd prefer to be eternal life than eternal punishment. Yeah, I think. Can we all agree on that? You know, I get it. It's cold out there, right? And it's still early in the morning. I've been up forever. Yeah, and I've already preached this one once, right? So I'm already going. Okay, so I'm going to try to catch you up to my speed here. Right, so yes, we want eternal life, yes, and not eternal punishment. Okay, yeah, we have to start somewhere. You know, we got to start. Then that's pretty basic. Okay, the challenge is you may have heard it. There's something very subtle going on here that makes a world of difference. What do both of those groups have in common? Right, before we get to what they've done and not done, what do both of those groups have in common? They've got a lot in common, yeah. But what do they have in common? Neither group knows the king. Is that something you've thought about before? I think about this a lot. Neither of those groups knows the king. Right? Because he says, you know, you did this and that and the other for me. They say, when did we do that? He said, you did not do this, that, or the other. He said, when did that happen? Okay, and then what does he say? He comes back and says, as you did it for the brethren, you did it for me. As you did not do it for the brethren, you did not do it for me. And already by this point in Matthew's gospel, we have pretty well established the fact that the brothers and sisters of Jesus, who is, of course, the king, both now and at the time of the final judgment, yet Jesus, who is the king, his brothers, the brethren, are those who do the will of God. And, say, more contextualized rendering of that is that those who have heard the call of Christ and heeded it. Okay, so now, this is a trick question, okay, so don't answer it. Okay, do you want to be on the right or the left? You don't want to be on either. You don't want to be on either. Why? Because you want to know Jesus. Yes? Yeah, this is the challenge, right? You realize I'm going to pull the rug out from underneath you, so you're very hesitant now. Okay. You want to know Jesus so that when you come face to face with Jesus, now, here and now, every moment of our lives, and in the judgment, the particular judgment that has come at the end of our life, and at the final judgment, we will see Jesus, and we will go, yes, I know you, I know you. And he will say, I know you. Like will be known by like. Okay, we will have lived so well to the call of Christ that we will recognize him clear as day. Clear as day. And so this exchange is not us. Okay, we know also that this passage echoes very well a certain kind of story that is told in literature is called the Judgment of Nations. And it probably has, if you look in your Bible, it probably has that heading, the Judgment of Nations. And what we have in the Hebrew Scriptures and in writings both contemporaneous with Jesus and before is that thing, the Judgment of Nations. How are the nations judged? They're judged by the way that they treat Israel, God's chosen people. Okay, that's the judgment of the peoples around them. What Jesus is doing then is he's redrawing the story around himself to say, not now Israel, but the new Israel. So as to say, the people who do not know Jesus, who have not heard and heeded the call of Christ, will be judged by how they treat the followers of Jesus. And that's what this passage is about. Okay, strange, yeah? We'll keep at it. Don't worry. It won't be strange by the end. It's just going to be 30 minutes from now. You know, it's like, we'll get through it together. Yeah, okay. So, where do we want to go? Yeah. Jesus as the new Israel and we as his faithful followers. Because here's the challenge, is we might hear that and say, okay, great. We're just going to do our thing. Right, we're going to do our thing as the church, as followers of Jesus, whatever. We're going to do our thing. And the way that people treat us, that's going to be how Jesus judges them. So you know what? I'm going to go out there and do my thing. And that guy who always treats me very badly, well, that guy can go to hell. Like, okay, good. You know, I like this, actually. I like the way this is turned around. Of course, the reality is that as soon as we were to say something like that, we would find ourselves outside of the followers of Jesus, because Jesus is, of course, the embodiment of self-giving love. So anytime we turn around and have, you know, any kind of enjoyment at the fact that someone else is on the road to perdition, right, that someone else is heading to destruction, or is even, because actually the judgment scene comes up into the present in the Paschal mystery of Jesus, right, such that he is enthroned now. He is ruling his world with justice and equity now. Yeah, and we somehow are vehicles of the coming of the justice and the peace and the fullness of the kingdom of God. Right, so if we see someone who is in a living hell now, we don't sit back and go, yeah, to hell with him. Right? We think, okay, how can I be the vehicle of God's love that he's created me to be? When we say, start to live into and grow into the life of great and costly love that Jesus has called us to, then we are in the right space, neither on the right or the left. We're right down the middle, right? We're with Jesus, whole and entire. Yeah, and what does this mean that we could get big heads, right, about the fact that, okay, well, we're the chosen ones, right? We're the elect of God. I was saying yesterday morning, you know, we are the kings and queens of the rule of Christ Jesus. And we could look around and look, I can do it more easily because I'm facing all of you. Yeah, and no real offense when I say this, but it's like we're a bit of a ragtag crew, you know. We're like, and I think we're in good company. You look at Jesus in the early church, that's a ragtag crew, right? Okay, so we're a ragtag crew, but we are kings and queens of the reign of God. We're his vice regents. We're his co-rulers. Jesus is ruling now. He's ruling now over us. We willingly embrace that. We love it. Please, Lord, rule over us and in us and through us. Yeah, we're vice regents of the reign of God. We're co-rulers with him. We are kings and queens of his reign. I wonder if we look around and think that. We have to think that from time to time. What nobility there is here. You know, lives given over to the call of Christ. You know, how moving that is. Right, we in some way are God's foothold in the world. This is his start of things. Right, this is the humble beginnings of the kingdom of God. We're living it out together. Yeah, so we're of course not inclined, I think, to get big heads and think, well, yeah, we're at the center of this thing. If they treat us well, then you know they have eternal reward. If they treat us poorly, they don't. They go to eternal punishment. What we want to do is forget about the entire thing and focus our whole heart and our whole life on Jesus, who is the King. He is the King, here and now. And the point of, I think, the celebration of the feast of Christ the King is not only to enshrine Jesus in our hearts and lives, right? To give him the throne room of ourselves, right? So that he can rule in us and bring his rule to life through us. It's also that the entire world will be restored according to the renewal God wants to effect through his faithful people. I want to celebrate this far and wide in that sense. Right? We live still in a world that is given over to idolatry and injustice. Right? Idols of every sort. You know, idols wherever you turn your eye, you know, it's like there's an idol for you. Yeah, but we want to overthrow the idols. And in fact, the power of the idols has already been broken in the death of Christ Jesus, in the death of King Jesus, in the death of our crucified Messiah, who has gone out at the head of his people to bring to life the power that we need in order to ourselves overturn the rule of idols and live lives of holiness, bringing God's justice to bear in the world, right? Exactly where we are. I want to come back to the passage and just give like more a little bit of surface and then a final exhortation for you. No matter what babies are trying to shout me down as I do it, it doesn't, you know, they'll get over it. Okay, so here it is. When you look at the response of the two groups of people to Christ the King, you can feel a sense of justice, a sense of charity, or a lack thereof. Yet when you see in the first, right, the first group of people, after the Lord has said, come, you are blessed by my Father, the righteous answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? I want you to pay attention to the cadence of that, right, the cadence of that passage. Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Now let's look at the second one, okay? They say, the second say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not minister to your needs? Right? It's too much for them to even get out of their mouths the full sentence of the thing. It's like, yeah, when did we do that or that or that or that or that? Blah, who cares? Right? They don't care. They lack the very essence of charity. Yeah? So here it is. For me, I want to say this. The corporal works of mercy, sure, right? This passage undergirds the corporal works of mercy. If we don't know where to start as it relates to advancing the rule of Christ the King, we can start with the corporal works of mercy. That the challenge is, of course, our lives must go beyond the corporal works of mercy. And they go beyond the corporal works of mercy because we have Christ as our King here and now, ruling in us and through us. Which means that in an immediate way, in an unmediated way, we have the rule of Christ. We have Jesus himself. He's breathing his spirit into us. He's feeding us with his body and blood. So we ought to be able to turn to him, and we should turn to him, both at the beginning of our day, our extended period of prayer, and also as we pray throughout the day, should turn to him and say, Lord Jesus, my King, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do here? Especially where I don't know, right? Actually, well, no, I'll take that back. Especially where you think you do know, right? Ask Jesus what you should be doing. We're most dangerous when we think we know. Yeah, it's like, I'm going to do that. Okay, fine. I'm off and running and whatever. No, ask Jesus what it is you should be doing there. How it is you should be treating this person, right? How it is you need to interact with them. How he wants you to dedicate your life to him, right? So, and there are good proxies for that question. Yeah, I think that Jesus is going to speak to you. Why would he call you into his company? Why would he call you into his service if he wasn't going to lead you and direct you and also give you the nourishment and sustenance that you need in order to execute faithfully on the task? But we can also say, according to the renewal that he's effecting in us, okay, Lord, show me what is the most, show me what is what I can do that best gives you glory. What best gives you praise here? How can I praise you here? Right? What would sing your glory here? Okay, that's one. And the other is, how can I serve you here? How do I bring flourishing to this, your corner of creation? Right? How do I pray and how do I love? Because that's our entire life. The rule of Christ has been inaugurated in the death and resurrection of Jesus. It's being implemented in and through his faithful followers who count themselves members of his body. My friends, that's our task. Yeah, live for the love of God. Live so as to serve him with everything we've got, and he's going to take care of the rest.